The Lou Trek Show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Did you know the Tech Podcast Network was home of the best tech podcasts like Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show at miketechshow.com and Byron Brown of Byron Brown Tech and Stuff, The Blur, Binary, and now the Road of I and We with co-host Benjamin Strong. Please check them out at bbtas.com. Tell them the Lou Trek Show sent you. Why? Because he loves you.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
I'm your resident Ferengi coming to you live from the FCA. Liquidator Lou Costanzo.
Welcome to the Lou Trek Show.
Put your arms around me, baby. Can't you see I need you so? Hold me close against your skin. I'm about to begin loving you.
Devil inside, devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lou Trek Show. I am your host, Lou. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Our main webpage is www.loutrekshow.com. There you'll find links to send us emails, voicemails. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on MySpace. Just go to loutrekshow.com/social. And I had to pick that intro because of my guest today, and he now understands why I picked that intro so we could talk about it. Today I'm talking to a friend of mine that haven't seen for, well, a little over 9 years, and we could talk about that too. So Bob Hansen is his name. Bob, how are you doing today?
Just lovely. I was a little curious how far you were going to let that song play, but you ended it just at the right time.
Just at the right time, unlike what I've done in the past. And
Medium Pace by Adam Sandler.
Yes, and you know that's not family friendly.
Yes.
But the start of it is just so cute. It's so...
After you preaching to me for the last couple of weeks how family-friendly this show is, and to watch my P's and Q's, and then you begin it with that song, I thought, what is going on?
What the heck? But you're right. I wanted to trick you. I want to see what you come up with, what you think.
I muted my microphone, so I didn't say a word.
Yeah, but what were you thinking? Oh, no.
It made me laugh. I have to admit, it did make me laugh.
That's what I do. Okay, so why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Well, proud father of three kids, two boys and a girl. They're all in their 20s, grown up. I had been DJing for years and years, DJing wedding receptions, and I could write a book about all the things that I'd seen, and then went on to DJing at bars, went on to buy a bar and a restaurant, went on to become a certified chef, and now that's pretty much what I do. I'm out of the DJ business, and I cook for the elderly and sick.
And about, maybe 11, 12 years ago, my sister went to one of those wedding receptions you did. And at the time, I was doing the oldies night at a local skating rink, DJing. And she told you about that, and you said, send him on, let me talk to him. And of course, that was a marriage made in heaven for a while, wasn't it?
Well, you got to be careful with that term marriage. You know, I have to tell you, though, I think, Lou, it was longer than 11 or 12 years ago.
It could be.
Because I was still working at that bar in Papillion, which I'll say the name of it because it doesn't even, it's not even around. It was called Bullfeathers. And I was there in 94 and 95. So, you know, we're talking 17 years ago.
Wow. You mean you haven't been there since 95?
No, I was there until about 1998. And then I bought my own place in 99 because I remember I opened it on New Year's Eve, and I actually, for an honest reason, played Prince's 1999 and thought, hey, it finally is the year. So I was there from about 94 to 98.
You're right.
And then in 99 is when I opened my own place and learned one valuable lesson that I will never open my own place again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. Yep, now I remember because, yep, Bullfeathers. Bullfeathers ain't in business no more?
No.
I didn't
know
that.
It's another place. Yeah, they sold it and they did all kinds of stuff. It's a sports bar now, but they closed that Farmer Brown's that was next to it. It's all different out there now.
Hmm, I'll have to take a swing by there. Well, I mean, yeah, I started doing the mobile thing for you, and then I think you brought me in the bar, or was it the other way around?
No, I think you did the mobile thing a couple times, but you didn't really like that very much. You liked the bar thing more.
Yeah.
Until you went to that one place that there was a big fight started, apparently, and because you were playing too much Debbie Boone or something, I don't know, and they just this huge fight started that was so out of control that the owners just walked around with like a couple of cans of pepper spray and just filled the whole place with pepper spray.
I remember that. Oh, my what? Goodness. How could I not remember that?
Are you serious? You came flying over because I was DJing at the Bullfeathers at the time. And you come over, and I could tell you wanted to talk to me real bad. You couldn't stand still. You were walking back and forth. And finally I said, okay, Lou, what's the deal? Because I was doing some contest, and I had to keep talking. And you're like, oh, they sprayed the pepper spray. And, oh, my God, it was a huge fight. And I got out of there with my life, and I left the system there. And I said, you said the whole inside of the bar was completely filled with pepper spray.
My God.
You don't remember that? How can you not remember that?
It's like hearing about somebody else's life. Not a clue.
Man, what kind of drugs were you on? I thought that was pretty funny. Then they wanted to have a DJ off or something, and they wanted to get one guy DJing and then you DJing, and I said, you know, that's the most stupid idea I've ever heard, so we're just leaving. It's not even worth my time.
Yeah.
Because he bounced a couple checks to me anyway. So.
Oh, well, gee, okay. Good thing you didn't come back at me for the money back.
Huh. You know, I mean, you were still crying from the pepper spray. I didn't have the heart to get the money from you.
That's great. Oh, well, you know, one thing about the mobile thing is we made a lot of money with that. I mean, that was pretty good. I used to get good tips. I keep people dancing and dancing and dancing. And then you get some drunk that wants to karaoke to all the women he's loved before.
Right.
And, oh.
And they're both dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It got to the point at weddings where I would rather stab someone in the tongue with a fork than take a song request.
Right. Yeah. Hey, man, these people are dancing too much. I want a slow dance. So basically what you're saying is you just want to kill the whole mood.
No, or you'd get somebody, the dance floor would be filled at a wedding. They would be dancing to something that was just, I don't know, Bob Seger or something. And all of a sudden, some old guy would come up and say, what are you playing this crap for? Nobody's dancing to it. You're like, dude, look out on the dance floor.
Yeah.
What do you want to hear?
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear Tennessee Williams singing 16 Tons. Yeah, whatever. What's your name? That's one thing I used to love to do.
Uh-huh.
I'd get that person's name. What's your name? My name's Bill. All right. And then I'd start to play 16 Tons. Do you know that song?
No, but I'm going to have to look for it now.
Tennessee Ernie Ford. You dig 16 tons, what do you get? An empty dance floor and a lot of crap.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd say, hey, Bill requested this song. Does anybody want to hear the rest of it? No, boo.
Boo.
Sorry, Bill, you suck, so I'm just going to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Bill would never come back up again.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that was.
Plus, I really wasn't interested in where the direction music was taking to.
Yeah, I mean, the music passed me by. That was another thing, too. Mm-hmm. I had some of the newer music I liked, but for a lot of it, I mean, you just can't dance to the Cranberries, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff that people were requesting that I didn't have, and I didn't even hear of it. And I just, the music passed me by, so at least I was smart enough to realize that and get out of it.
Right. Now, for everybody, for the kids that may be listening to this and you don't really understand the definition of old school, Bob, tell them what old school was. What did we carry around, lug around, and use?
Well, I'm going to tell you that my very first show, and I only did one time with this, my very first show I did, I had a cassette player and the other audio component I had was a reel-to-reel. And now, if you can imagine the reel-to-reel, and again, the young kids listening, whatever, that it was just, you know, you had these two big, you know, wheels that looked like, I don't know, I guess Scotch tape things, but only they're, you know, probably 10 inches in diameter. So you'd have to put that tape, that reel on, pull the tape over, run it through the where the heads are, you know, you got to real carefully snake it through all that, and then put it on the empty reel so that you could have some place for the tape to go after it was played.
Right.
And you'd wind it up, and then you'd have to fast-forward it and listen to it fast-forward because it would go, you could tell what song it was. Uh-huh. And then you'd listen, and when you finally got the right song, you'd wait until the song you were playing was finished, which a lot of times you cut it pretty close with that reel-to-reel.
Very close.
And then you'd play the song. Yeah. Now, the only bad thing is sometimes you'd forget and leave your volume up on that particular reel-to-reel that you're cueing something on, and so the whole crowd could hear the, you know, for a second.
Yep.
Sorry about that, but the chipmunks were fighting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But we had cassette tapes, and, you know, you have to listen to the cassette and fast-forward it to the point where you finally found the song that was on it. There's probably, oh, I suppose 12 songs per side per mm-hmm. cassette tape, and then you'd cue it up. That's why at the beginning of the DJ shows, at the beginning of the dances, you would just sit there for about 20 minutes and just cue up a whole bunch of songs that you knew mm-hmm. you were going to play that I can't even stand to hear them anymore. You know, Old Time Rock and Roll and Celebration mm-hmm. and The Bird Dance and Hokey Pokey, those things just... I mean, no wonder there are serial killers in the world because those songs would drive me to it anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember boxes of tapes. See. Now, you had the sound system in a neat little convenient package. Just one big box with the mixer and the amplifier. That was ingenious.
That weighed 75 pounds.
75 pounds. And, of course, we had the tape players and stack one on the other. And then, of course, CDs started coming out about that time, and we were just in love with CDs. And now,
even those got heavy after a while.
Even those got heavy. But now, DJing is a whole different art. Not one disc, not one tape. It's all on computer. You just take your computer, your notebook in, set it down, hook it up to the system, and you're done.
Yeah, I mean, there's still the entertainment aspect of it. I've gone to a couple of friends' dances where there's been a DJ up there, and mm-hmm. One that I was at, he was really good because he was, I mean, a cordless mic was something that we could only dream about mm-hmm. back then, but that is such a huge tool in the DJ business now because they can get out there, and that was my forte, was to go out there and to get involved with the crowd and to pick on some people in a fun manner. That's what I really enjoyed about DJing, is to just have fun with the people. I almost like smaller crowds better than I like bigger crowds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were awesome at changing the words to different songs, and you actually got me doing that, too.
Right, we got family-friendly again, mm-hmm. so I can't do that. But I used to get requests. So, well, that was in the bar though. I wouldn't do that at the weddings.
No.
But because I think that the person that ruined most wedding receptions was the bride's mother. Because she just, you know what? Relax. You're done planning. It's the night of the show. Mm-hmm. You're having a great time. You enjoyed your meal. Just sit back and relax. Some people just wouldn't.
That was my favorite tape, was the background music. I mean, I can't even remember the songs that were on them. But they were pretty cool.
I had Spyro Gyra, and I had some Kenny G, and I had a lot of instrumentals.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there was one, it started out with the same one every time, and I can't remember what that was. Steaming, grooving, sharking, something. Breezing. Breezing. Wait a minute. Breezing. Wasn't that it?
I don't know. I don't remember those. I used to just throw that CD in and walk around and take requests. And check out the bridesmaids, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But you're a married man. You can't do that anymore.
All right. And while you were talking there, I was doing a little search. And together we came up with, it was George Benson, and it was called Breezing. Listen to this. See if it... Sounded familiar?
Oh, yeah.
I used to love this little song. Everybody, enjoy your dinner.
Yeah, I can just picture him eating the roast beef right now. Little kids running around.
Uh-huh. Banging into the table.
Get away from my speaker pole, you little brat.
Yeah, no kidding.
Staring at the mirror ball.
Yeah, it's a shame she got married. Dang, she was fine. But anyway, that's George Benson. Reason.
I used to like to get into the food line first because, I'm a pretty big guy. I used to make everybody nervous,
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy crap, look at the size of that guy.
What's he going to do?
Is there going to be any food left for us?
Yeah. All right. And, of course, and then when you bought the bar, you had me come in. What was it? Was it Fridays or Saturdays?
I think it just varied.
Yeah.
It varied. Now, you forgot, of course, to mention, since I'll let you mention this, I called us at the Bullfeathers.
Oh, that's right. You put up this. I came in one day doing my show, and I saw the big sign up there that said, dance tune, or something like danced to dance tunes, DJs, and karaoke with Bob and Lou. 2 tons of fun, 1 ton at a time. And that was hilarious. That was just perfect. You don't have that no more, do you? No.
No, heck no.
I suppose not. Yeah. So then we were doing the Bullfeathers till you said, hey, I'm getting my own bar. And I remember going in there before it ever opened, showing me the place. And I remember the day that you told me you were selling the bar. Of course, you forgot to mention that the new owners were in there. And, I was playing some music that people were requesting, including that song I started with, Medium Pace by Adam Sandler. And they were not impressed. So that ended Lou's DJ career there. But
I forgot about that, actually.
Yeah. But, honestly, even if you told me you were sold out and you were leaving, I wasn't going to go on no more. I wouldn't have done it no more. No way.
You're like, go on without me, Bob.
No, Bob. I can't go on without you. No. It just wouldn't have been the same,
Those are two great people, and I was glad I got out from under it, and I pretty much got out unscathed.
Mm-hmm.
And, and things happen for a reason, Lou. Things just happen for a reason.
All right. You're probably happier with what you're doing. I'm much happier in the job I'm doing than what I've ever done in the past, so we're both happy. But
there you go.
And of course you got me addicted to cheddar nuggets or cheddar bites. Remember that?
It's called cheese curds.
Cheese curds. Well, I don't remember what they called them, but
I used to give you like the mega order.
The mega order, yeah. It was the mega aorta. I mean, directly to the arteries it went.
Right.
And
you could actually feel your heart stop.
Yes.
And not only that, not only are you eating breaded cheese, mm-hmm. you're putting ranch dressing on it.
It just was incredible. And when you left, I went back there, and they had one time, the same one, was like a white cheddar. And then I went back a few weeks later, and all of a sudden they switched it on me to some kind of yellow cheddar. And it was horrible.
It was the cheaper one they got.
Yes. And, of course, I could never find that again, so I have to give that up.
Well, and again, things happen for a reason, probably because you stopped eating all the cheddar or the cheese curds. Here's why you're talking to me today.
Right, you know, except for my mouth is now dripping, but it's okay. I'll get over it again. It took a while. It'll happen again. Now, I didn't know you were a Trekkie, but of course I wasn't really a big Trekkie at the time either. Well, I was, but I was a closet Trekkie.
I enjoyed the original show, mm-hmm. and I knew some people that watched The Next Generation, and I just happened to be with them one time when they were watching it, and it was the episode where Picard was being turned into a Borg.
Ah, the best of both worlds.
What's that?
It's called The Best of Both Worlds.
Right. It was a double feature, of course, or whatever. And I thought, man, this is really good. Mm-hmm. And I was watching it, and I couldn't wait. I mean, this is when it was actually still on TV, as far as you couldn't wait till the next day and watch the next episode. You had to really wait for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that was not the next week. I think it was a season-ending one.
Yes, it was.
And I thought, wow, I got to wait till next season to see what happens. And so I started watching and some of the reruns, because it had been on long enough that it was on, I don't know how you want to, it was franchised or something.
Syndication.
Syndicated, thank you. Yep. And I was watching it, and it was the real old ones, and I really didn't like the real old ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd seen how much it had progressed, though, and that's what stuck me onto it, was how, you know, I was glad they killed Diane Crosby or whatever she was.
Denise? Really?
Yeah.
Tasha Yar?
Tasha Yar, yeah. I was like, okay, good, the black blob got her, that's good.
The oil slick, yeah. Yeah, I know.
And, you know, the one thing I remember about the old Next Generation shows is the one where Picard and Riker are in, like, a target practice thing in the holodeck,
mm-hmm.
and they're shooting at the little lights, and just how stupid that was. I was almost embarrassed to admit that I watched that scene. But then it just, I don't know if they changed writers or what they did, but it just got so much better.
Well, it takes generally the third season for a new show to get in its groove. I mean, especially in the first season, I always harp about this. You've probably heard me say it, but the men in dresses thing really ticked me off. It was just pathetic. And it just got corny and cheesy, and the 14-year-old with the pimples on the bridge. And it was a little bit hokey the first season.
You didn't like Wesley Crusher, did you?
Oh, go back a few shows. Go to the website. Look for at the top of the main page. It says Simplified Show List. And look for the one where we killed Wesley Crusher. We came up with a whole bunch of ways for Wesley to die. That should tell you something there. But, they started retelling the original series. You know, like, I can't remember what the name of it was, and I should be able to come up with that easily, but they were drunk. They met up with the ship, and they all got some kind of disease, and they were all crazy, humping each other. Tasha Yar, Data got lucky.
Oh, yeah,
that
day. Tasha and Data got hooked up.
Yeah, I mean, they were just telling the same story that the previous show did. You know, very little twist. Dr. McCoy came up with the solution at the right time, and so did Crusher, because she came upon his solution.
Oh, I'm glad they killed off that other doctor, though.
Pulaski?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that what they should have done is they should have ended her season by falling down a turbo shaft. Just like she did on L.A. Law. Remember that?
No.
Diana Muldaur was on L.A. Law as Rosalind Chase, I believe her name was. And she was one of the attorneys. And she was...
Oh, yeah,
it was
right.
The season ending, and she just disappeared because she got into the... You hear, ding! The elevator doors open. She goes through. And, black. So I was just thinking what they should have done was... Dr. Pulaski put her on a turbo lift that wasn't there and let her go bounce down the turbo shaft. I think that would have been kind of unique.
I like the way they reintroduced Tasha Yar, though, as far as with the Romulans and
yeah,
and bringing her. That was interesting. It was good writing. It was very inventive, creative. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they killed her off. And I know the part where she got the disease where she turned older, I didn't think she looked any older than what she originally did.
No.
Like, you know, Pulaski mascara sure looked may have like, been running.
Yeah, Pulaski looked like heck that episode, if it was the one I'm thinking of.
But then it went on. Like, I love Darmok. I like that episode where the people are talking in metaphor.
Right.
It's one of my favorites.
I've actually been thinking about if I can get Brian to figure that out, try and do an episode where we do nothing but metaphors, just like Darmok. So,
yeah.
Brian and Lou talking about... Anyway, I don't know if that'll work or not, but... Oh, boy. Okay, so what about Voyager? Did you watch it?
I watched Voyager, and I thought it was interesting because it had a lot of the... newer parts in there as far as new concepts, and they were gone for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that and that they were trying to get back home. I liked how Janeway kind of still kept order, even though it probably could have been chaos and Chapulte, or what was his name?
Chakotay.
Chakotay, yeah.
Chipotle.
I ate one of him at the Taco Bell, I think.
Okay.
That was good, and the they moved it around so much that I couldn't really get into the habit of watching it. It just kept changing its times.
Yeah, I mean they did their best. It just wasn't well received.
And I liked Enterprise,
mm-hmm.
with Scott Bakula. I thought that was great, especially when they had the few episodes where what would have happened had the Nazis won and.
Mm-hmm.
That was really, really good. But Deep Space Nine, I never liked.
Really?
Never liked. And I watched more episodes of that one than I did of Voyager, probably. Mm-hmm. But Deep Space Nine, I think I hated Quark, I hated Odo, I hated the whole thing. I just hated it.
Hated it. Well, I thought Beyond the Dominion Wars just... took a little bit too much time to get through. I thought it was a pretty good series. I mean, what can you do on a space station? You know, it took them about a few episodes before they realized this can't work, we're stagnant, so we have to get out. And of course came the Defiant to help with the Dominion Wars. It just went too long. As a matter of fact, I do like Deep Space Nine, and every once in a while, I go through the whole series. I just started one, and it takes me about 4 months to get through them. And this time, I've started them again, and this time I'm going to do a show at the end of me watching this. I'm going to have a commentary about Quark's misdeeds. How many things he does on the space station that he should have been booted out an airlock. I'm writing them all down now.
So now you like Deep Space Nine.
I do. I do like
it. I don't know if we can be friends anymore, Lou.
You know, if people...
Here's the thing. I like the comic relief. You know, certainly the original Star Trek had it. The Next Generation had it with Data and Barclay and those types of things. The Voyager had it with the holographic doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And... I don't know so much. I think it was the Bakula had a good sense of comedy with some of the little comments that he would make.
Trip.
On Enterprise.
Trip made that show.
You think so?
Oh, Trip made that show. Trip Tucker, he made that show. I mean, all the things he used to do, pan-fried fish or something like that, he made that show.
Well, that Jolene Blaylock there, the Vulcan commander woman, who was she, what was her name there?
Yeah, Jolene Blaylock. T'Pol.
T'Pol. Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason I watched it.
Not T'Pol. I didn't think T'Pol was very, very hot. Jolene, massively hot. They just dummied her character. I mean, they debeautified her to make her a Vulcan. Why can't a Vulcan be good looking?
Why? In the episodes where they were the bad guys,
mm-hmm.
she had like the longer hair and was looking.
Oh yeah,
looking pretty good. But we can't go into that because again. It's family friendly.
Well, Lou. She was cute. That's all that matters. She was cute.
Oh, way more than cute. When they were holding her up, like they were like bidding.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
On that one episode, and the guy was holding her up. Uh-huh. I mean, I was actually looking for the 800 number to put a bid in. I was like, oh, my God, I want to buy that.
Let me have something. Yeah.
Please.
Well, what are you going to do?
For like a week.
It'll okay. What about the movies? Where do you stand on them?
I pretty much liked them all except for the first one. The first one was good because it was, it was just new and it was fresh and the Star Trek was coming back. But, when you watch it now, you're like, well, how did that guy go from, becoming part of Voyager to being a preacher with a bunch of kids, Or whatever it was. What show was he in?
Are you talking about Decker? The guy who played Decker?
Yeah, that sounds right. And he gets together with the bald woman at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, next time you see him, he's the preacher where he's got the kids. I forget what the name of that show was in the 90s.
See, I don't know that. I have no clue.
I know you know the show.
I know the show.
And I'm not. It was kind of like an eight is enough kind of a title. I forget what it is. Anyway, regardless, it was a preacher, and he had like a son and a daughter, two daughters. His wife was a blonde gal. I forget the name of it. Hmm. But. Anyway, we've gone along. As far as the movies go, I think The Wrath of Khan was awesome.
Yeah.
The Undiscovered Country was good. What was the one where Kirk was fighting off the Klingon that killed his son? And the Klingon that killed his son was actually Doc Brown, was actually the Christopher Lloyd.
Yes. Yeah, that was the motion. No, excuse me. I'm still looking at the motion picture here trying to figure out who played Decker. So, second was Khan!
Great movie.
Yeah, well, that was one of the best. Third was where they saved Spock. Four was a voyage home. Five is where they meet God. Six is
okay, now, I think the next where they were searching for Spock.
Yes,
after
it was
they
three.
Shot the Gemini, or no, the Genesis into the planet, and Christopher Lloyd was in it.
Yep,
and they had killed his son. They killed Kirk's son.
Right, that was three.
And then that's the one that. That's the search for Spock, though.
Yep. Star Trek 3, the search for Spock. Star Trek 3, the search for the franchise.
When they lied or they said minutes were hours and where they'd made the communique where it's going to take us this long to get things ready and they knew the Klingons were listening.
Yes.
And so they, and it's. he said, what have I done, where they destroyed the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. McCoy said, you do what you always do. You give us a chance to survive. I thought that was a good line.
Right. Yeah, those were pretty good. What about the voyage home? Save the whales!
I'm somewhat of a... I lean more on the conservative side of political thinking, and I know that was the whole thing of, you know, save the whales, you know, yeah, but I don't know. I found that there was a lot of political rhetoric in that one.
Yeah.
Here's the one I don't understand is the one that, I think it was The Undiscovered Country, where Christopher Plummer played the main Klingon, and McCoy and Kirk were... they're on a prison planet that was like all cold and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to answer a Klingon that was trying to get them to find out, like, they wanted to make it like they were a barge or something, but actually they had a weapon of some sort. And so they were trying to figure out how to answer the Klingon who was trying to get them to identify themselves.
Yes.
And they pulled out all these books.
Right.
And I'm thinking, books?
Yeah.
They have books?
Books, yes, in the 23rd century.
And they had all these computers, I mean, but they got all the books out. We're looking through them.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
And how to speak Klingon.
Okay. So we talked about... What about Star Trek V, The Final Frontier?
That's where they go to God, or the guy that's like God.
Yeah. What does God need with a starship?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's something I don't have.
Right. Yeah.
Bring the ship closer.
Anyway.
Yeah. See, now that guy kind of made... That's so funny, Lou. Yeah. That's very funny that you did that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that makes me think of the... what was the one on The Next Generation where they ended up next to the people that were pretty much the be-all, end-all, where it was like this giant face, and it was a real friendly guy that, oh, yeah, we brought you here. You know,
uh-huh. The Cytherians, I believe they were called.
That's incredible. What a memory you've got on that.
Hey, you know, there are some people that are true Trek, but yet I don't remember being in a bar that got pepper sprayed.
Right, that the air was filled with pepper spray.
I don't remember it.
I will never forget,
man.
You okay. Coming into the Bullfeathers. With that look on your face, and you could not stand still. You were pacing back and forth, just waiting to tell me what had happened.
That is funny. Okay, well, anyway, yeah, the Cytherians. And I'm trying to remember how they got there. Oh, was it the probe? Yes, and it was called the Nth Degree. That's right. That's where we meet Barclay. He gets socked by this computer probe and becomes this brainiac. Remember?
He's and he becomes part of the computer?
Yes, he becomes part of the computer. He's sitting on the holodeck arguing with Einstein.
Yeah, the holodeck would be something I would love to go to.
There you go. We're going to get to that in a second. But let's go on to other movies, like The Undiscovered Country. We talked about that. Generations with the Kirk and Picard thing.
That was good. That was good. I liked it.
I like the Nexus.
Well, I like what's the one where they crash into the Earth, like the saucer section crashes into the Earth?
Well, see, the problem with that was because they let Deanna Troi at the helm. She's crashed two starships.
Man, I'd hate to pay her insurance.
Exactly. I mean, you know, obviously State Farm would have dropped her.
It's my favorite part that just cracks me up, and I put it on my Facebook profile, was where Data is at the helm and realizes it's inevitable that
oh, yeah.
the ship is crashing.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, poop.
Oh, poop. Yeah. And that was Generations, because they were coming out of the Nexus. Actually, she crashed it twice in that one episode, or one movie. Because,
you know, I do like how the Next Generation made the saucer come apart from the ship. That was good as inventive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it was pretty cool. But as far as the Star Trek, the motionless picture, I don't think I ever saw it in the movie theaters, because I would have fallen asleep. It was just daunting and continuous organ music through the whole thing. It was.
You mean the first one?
Yes. I just.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was just the novelty of it. It was, you know, Star Trek hadn't been around. When did that movie come out? 70 or 81 or something?
No, I think it was 79.
And, you know, Star Trek hadn't been around for 10 plus years. And it had been on TV, though, and was gaining popularity. And everybody knew who all the characters were. And I remember going into the theater to watch it. Mm-hmm. Because, like I wasn't a huge Star Trek fan, but I liked it enough. And it gave me good memories, because I was a kid watching it. And the television series. And anyway, I remember when they started and they played the music and they started the show and they started showing things like, you know, DeForest Kelly's name, and people would cheer, and William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy's names would come up, and the audience was just cheering with those names of those people coming up. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I like the fact they came back, because had they not come back, we wouldn't have had all the other movies. But it just was so... It had to be over 2 hours of almost pure boredom. But...
Well, I also remember the big thing about the girl being bald.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on... Wasn't she some Russian girl or something?
I don't know. That I don't know.
I think she was native of Russia. It was a big deal made out of that. I was probably 19 or so. If it came out in 79, I was 19. And they made a big deal about, oh, is bald going to be beautiful? And I remember thinking, man, I hope not.
I would hope not to. V'ger.
Looking like a vanilla Tootsie Pop.
Yeah. V'ger. 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 What? V'ger. Okay, thank you. All right, well, let's see about the rest of the movies here. We went through Generations. How about First Contact? Did you like that one?
I liked it, yeah, because I always like the Star Treks that compare current times with their time.
Mm-hmm.
When they go back in time, you know, when the original series did that, they went back in time and flew over Sac Air Force Base in Omaha.
Yes, they did, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And ended up in Sac Air Force Base. And then the Next Generation, when they would go back in time, and they had a lot of the quandaries that you'd have to, like, they find Data's head in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And then now on... First Contact, they had to go back in time. Wasn't that because of the Borg lady?
No, the Borg. Yeah, they fought the Borg in the beginning of the movie, and the Borg created a rift in time and went through it, and the Enterprise got sucked into it. Follow him in, Mr. Hulk. And yeah. Remember I thought the famous line, "This far, no further." But didn't that come from Braveheart or something?
Oh, I don't know.
And I will make them pay for what they've done. It's like, I gotta remember, there's something about that. The line must be drawn here, this far, no farther. I don't know where he got that from.
There are four lights.
Yeah, really.
Hopefully they are Miller Lights.
Miller Lights. Bud Light. Bud Light. Bud
What
Light.
Was the one? Okay, it was. That was the movie that you just mentioned, First Contact, where they had, I think the captain's ready room was, had that very sharp yellow light in it from the sun.
Yeah.
And I thought that was good because, you know, obviously that every time you'd see outside of the windows of the Enterprise, it was always dark.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that the sun or a star that they were close to had to come shining through every so often.
Yeah.
I was a little jealous of those cool gold models he had of all of his little ships that he broke.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I know. Those were cool. You broke your little ships. Anyway. okay. Let's see here.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful fantasy, though, is to have the chance, if indeed that was true, to be beamed up there and be like, wow, this is, you know, I want chicken soup, and the replicator makes it for you.
Okay, let's get into that. Well, I was going to ask you, but you're pushing me, Bob. You're pushing me. Okay, let's get into that. What do you want? Let's say you could have one piece of Trek technology, whether it be a holodeck, a replicator, your own personal Nexus, or something like phaser communicator, transporter.
That's what it would be, right there.
The transporter? Mm-hmm. Why?
Because then I could sleep in. And got to be to work at 9. I could leave here at 8:59.
Mm-hmm.
And be there. Of course, they'd have to have a transporter pad there. You could do site to site, I guess, but then you'd have to drive back.
Well, no, you just tap your communicator and say, one to beam home. But
because then you wouldn't have to worry about the weather.
No.
You know, I mean, I remember thinking that the other day where I'm trying to come home and I was going to have dinner with my son and my daughter-in-law and my granddaughter. And I'm like, man, you know, I'm driving and I'm trying to get there as fast as I can. Like, if I just had a transporter.
Mm-hmm. Me? I want a holodeck. I tell you, I'd suffer from holo addiction too, just like Barclay.
Oh, yeah.
I would be nuts in that holodeck. I mean, I'd have a lot of fun. I'd recreate things from the past. I would be in a new house every day. I mean, it would just be fun to have your own personal holodeck. Matter of fact, back in the day, I used to start the show with, and now, a man who's something or another. And one of them used to say, and now, a man who's holding on to a spare bedroom, just in case they build a real holodeck. You know.
I'd have like 10 Super Bowl rings, you know.
Sure. Yeah. I wonder if it can make me thinner. Put more hair on my head.
Well, I guess if you play whatever it is, Parcheesi squares or something.
Actually,
they always end up getting hurt. Yeah, because you would wonder if you could see. That would be funny if you could
stand
in the holodeck and not see what they're seeing.
Yeah.
And watch them jumping around in an empty room.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Falling in love with somebody in an engineering, you know, down in engineering.
Oh, poor Jordy. Even on the holodeck, the women rejected him.
They are so lucky that they had that blind guy, because how many times did he save them by being able to say, my visor is picking up certain molecules in the air?
Right. Now, that was functional. Now, Troy, on the other hand, Captain, I sense anger, hatred, rage. You know, she's referring to the ship that's firing photon torpedoes at him at the time. It's
right.
Like, no kidding, tell me something you don't know. I mean, you know, just, Will, I sense, don't tell, oh, every time I heard I sense. Now, when Loxana came on the ship, that was gold.
Her mom?
Yes.
Yeah, I found her to be somewhat annoying, but
Oh, I loved it when she came on the ship and went after Picard.
I liked her. What was her manservant's name?
Oh, Holm. Mr. Holm.
I figured you'd know it.
Mr. Holm.
The big tall guy.
Okay. No, the reason I was wondering is there was an episode on there where Deanna was supposed to be married. And it was going to become her manservant, all right. Oh, but anyway. Okay,
you know, I remember the episode that, and I've only seen it once, but I always thought I'd seen every Next Generation that I cared to, but it was Deanna Troi had a baby.
The ball of light that got her pregnant.
Yeah, I know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching that going, what the heck is going on here? And so it was a stupid one, mm-hmm. I thought. The other one that I thought was kind of stupid was when they were trapped in that thing and nobody could dream, but she kept having that dream of...
God, I hated that. That's what I mean,
circle
the headache.
Follows a circle.
Yes. One moon circles. Where are you?
Lou, you are scaring me.
I hated it. I hated it. Where
one
are
moon
you?
Moon circles.
I'm trying to find you. I need to... And then she spent 5 minutes saying, where are you?
I know. Just tell
him
now.
Tell
you.
I need to let you know. I need you to understand. Shut up. Just say it. Hit the thing. Send us some hydrogen, please.
Yeah, now. Or no, they're sending hydrogen.
Exactly.
The Enterprise is sending one moon circles. And so they're like, the Enterprise, that's so funny, Lou. The Enterprise is sending it through, of course, their main deflector dish, which does everything.
Everything. Uh-huh. Yeah. And, of course, as Deanna
was... If only we could give them Kentucky Fried Chicken. Well, I could alter the main deflector dish.
Yes, Captain.
To fry up some chicken and send it to the Klingons.
I was just thinking when you said one moon circles. I mean, as you see Diana suspended in whatever.
Right.
I'm trying to find you. I'm thinking, there's one moon circling. Man. But anyway... I didn't.
Eyes.
Yeah.
Eyes. And I like how Data's looking at stuff at Data speed, and she's like, wait a minute, back up a little.
Yeah! Like, hold it. What? How did you see that? It was just a blur to me.
But Data is certainly one of my favorites.
Yes, he was.
And he's a great actor. Brent Spiner is such a great actor.
Yeah, see, when he came back and played Dr. Soon on Enterprise, I thought, he was just psychotic. It was awesome.
He was in Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Dude, Where's My Car?
Was he really?
Yeah.
I don't think I
ever
saw that.
He was the guy that was the keeper of all those ostriches.
Oh, man. No, I didn't see that.
He's been in so many shows. I mean, he aged quickly. And maybe it's just because you always saw him with the black hair and the white face. But
right. Well, hey, Bob.
I loved it. Bob. I didn't like the one where the kid wanted to be Data. I didn't like that show.
Oh, yeah, no. But, hey, we better go ahead and get on to what we were going to do.
All right.
Because we're at about 53 minutes, and I probably don't have much editing to do. This is wonderful. It's a good one here. Because, folks, we're doing this one day before it goes on. Generally, I like 3 days of editing. But let's go ahead and do us a little bit of segment here.
And now, the Lou Trek Show is proud to present news from the future. Just because we ain't there yet doesn't mean it didn't happen.
And starting this news out with entertainment news, stand-up comedy is making a strange return. That's right. The old 20th century long-dead form of entertainment is making a comeback. Hoping to re-energize a comedy of the past, Starfleet is showcasing such classic comedians as The Comic and Starfleet's pride and joy, B4, the only living sibling of Lieutenant Commander Data. Holo Comedy Suites will be featured in starbases and starships near you.
Starfleet's Biological Science Division has combined the DNA matter of Captains Jonathan Archer and Catherine Janeway to create Starfleet's first hermaphrodite officer, Captain Archway. We salute you, ma'am, sir.
And speaking of which, the captain of the Federation Starship Voyager, the most cursed ship in the Federation's history, has announced that she is pregnant. Captain Catherine Janeway, who's usually more frigid than the ice planet Rurapente, claims that she has no idea how she got pregnant. DNA scans of the fetus revealed human, Vulcan, Talaxian, Bolian, Bajoran, and holographic DNA. Good God, what a slut.
The number one interstellar public access program was again Dancing with the Klingons. Series favorite Kik Pot was eliminated last week when a slightly erroneous move with his batleth caused his partner to do the splits. Big time.
And speaking of DNA and Klingons, signs of triple DNA have been detected in four members of the Klingon High Council. Rumors are circulating that during the Klingon invasion of the Tribal home world, some of the Klingon warriors mated with the Tribbles, creating a half-Klingon, half-Tribal hybrid. What is puzzling is that the Tribal DNA has never been detected before, but Chancellor Martok has denounced the four as dishonorable Klingon Tribal trash.
Tribbles are also back in the news when a creative seamstress from Alpha Prime 7 has incorporated the fuzzy, cooing little creatures into the hottest-selling apparel item since the miniskirt for men. Tribble Snuggies are wildly popular with the cadets at Starfleet Academy. They are warm and soft and emit a soothing purr that puts the students into a comatose state not seen in any place of higher learning since Earth's latter 1960s.
And that was News from the future. Check back often for more news from the future. And I thank you for that, Bob.
Hey, Lou, I got to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next time that the Ferengi take over the ship, they should flood the whole Enterprise with pepper spray. I'll take care of them.
That'll do it. I won't be on the ship. I'll run away. I'll report to the Admiral at that one.
That was one show that I did hate. The one where the Admiral and whatever were aliens and Picard figured it out.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I hated that show.
Oh, but I did like watching Commander Ruddock's head explode.
Yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm. Remick or Remick? Remick! That's it. Commander Remick's head explode.
You got me at a disadvantage there. I can't remember. I remember the head exploding, though.
Yeah. We only wish to court you. Anyway. And pretty soon, actually, do you remember when Picard butted heads with Admiral Alena Nechayev? She was a blonde-haired lady. She'd come on brusquely. And...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She, like, was part of a trial against him or something, wasn't she?
Well, no. That was the... another admiral. So you can remember who Admiral Nechayev is. Let's listen to a little bit of TNG. This is from the episode was called Journey's End.
Earl Grey tea, watercress sandwiches, and Valerian canapés. Are you up for a promotion?
I am trying to establish a new relationship with the admiral. There has been a certain amount of tension between us in the past.
Tension is hardly the word I'd use.
Well, I am trying to get things off on a better note this time. I want her to feel at ease. I want her to feel that she's welcome on board the Enterprise.
Is there any reason she shouldn't feel welcome here?
We don't have to like her, Will, but we have to follow her orders, and maintaining this atmosphere of confrontation serves no purpose. Admiral Nechayev, welcome on board the Enterprise.
Thank you, Captain. You may leave, Commander Riker.
Thank you, Admiral. Captain,
may I offer you some refreshments,
Admiral? I'll come right to the point, Captain. There's a situation that's developed on the Cardassian border that...
Now, do you remember her?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, she wasn't bad looking either. She was a pain in the butt. Anyway, in the next 2-3 months, we're probably going to be interviewing her.
Really?
Oh, yes. I've reached out to her, and she said she just did another sci-fi, and she doesn't want to saturate the market. Not sure what that means, but I'll ask her. But, yeah, she said somewhere around March or April she would be willing to do an interview, so I'm looking forward to that.
Are you going to have some Earl Grey tea or anything out?
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, you know, offer her some Valerian canapés. And I don't know what it is, but I don't know what a canapé is. But anyway.
Something that you stand under when it's raining.
Yeah, you would think. So, but anyway. I'll look forward to that.
Another thing about the Next Generation, though, that I didn't like, and I don't know why they always incorporated it, is Worf's son, Alexander. Couldn't stand it.
No, me either. But I don't want to be a warrior, Father.
And he's always so mad. And then that Loxana Troi was had, mm-hmm. you know, where she made him take a mud bath and mm-hmm. and this is my laughing time and ha, he had to practice his laughing.
Ha, could you stop that, please? Ha, another
Alexander.
One.
Why are you in the bathroom for so long?
ha, Father. Anyway. But, and then another...
Hey, Klingon does not laugh.
Yeah, really. Another little voice I couldn't stand was Molly O'Brien. Remember Chief O'Brien's daughter?
No, I didn't like Keiko much either, though.
Oh, there was a face I wanted to punch in. But Molly O'Brien was annoying because...
Mommy, I didn't think you'd talk like this. It's kind of nasal. You're not my mommy.
Just, oh, God, she was irritating. Every time I see little Molly, I go, oh, fast forward. And,
We've put all children into Jeffrey's tubes and flooded them with pepper spray.
Right. Yeah. Oh, when Molly fell into the thing that, you know, I don't remember what it was called, but... It was on Deep Space Nine. Molly fell into this little wishing well. And,
that's why I don't know the girl.
Yeah. And I was thinking, finally, she's off the station. They killed her off. Terrific. I hate to, you know, you want to kill off a kid, but I did. And then she came back as an older girl, and they had to send her back in again and try and get the real Molly out. But,
well, you know, the thing with Keiko is that she was always nagging O'Brien.
Yes, right.
Always. Oh, the other day I was growing this plant, and part of the leaf came out purple, and he's, like, bored out of his mind, but he's listening to her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, you know, how about if we do this? You don't appreciate my work.
Right.
Like, man, you know what? Get on this transporter pad. I know a few tricks. I think I'll send you in a little loop, and you and... Scotty can just hang out in a transporter loop.
Yeah, I mean, there had to be a reason why they kept sending her to Bajor. Obviously, because most of the fans didn't like it, except for that one who kept writing in and saying, "Where's Keiko?" So they bring her back for a little bit and then send her off again. But, oh well. Well, hey.
They tried to introduce family to it, and that's the way it was.
Right. You know, as... Do you remember in The Next Generation when they came up to their sister ship? The Yamato. The USS Yamato, who had the computer malfunction, got hacked, and... Did you watch that ship explode and go, oh my God! Like, you know, there were really 1,000 people, including men, women, and children, on that ship?
The name sounds familiar. What else was in that show that would remind me of that show?
Well, instead of reminding you, why don't we listen to it here real quick? All right, so here's a little clip. It's from Season 2, and it's an episode called Contagion.
Captain's log, Stardate 42609.1. In response to a desperate plea from my old friend, Captain Donald Varley of the USS Yamato, I'm running a grave risk by taking the Enterprise into the neutral zone. Varley's request was prompted by dangerous malfunctions which have been plaguing our sister ship. Perhaps with both crews working together, we can eliminate the problems before our presence is detected by the Romulans.
Sir, there is an energy buildup in the Yamato's engineering section.
Yamato, this is the Enterprise. Yamato, come in.
Captain. Magnetic seals in the antimatter chamber are decaying.
Captain! Donald, come in!
Shields up. Sir.
Sensors indicate no life readings, sir.
Captain's log supplemental. The Yamato's entire crew and their families, more than 1,000 people, have been lost.
Circumstances, unfortunately, permit us no pause for grief.
And remember now? And when I saw that ship explode, it was like... That's one thing about Star Trek. You can get into the thing.
Yeah, the writing in the later shows was very, very good.
Right. And
the Cardassians, I liked it. I did like the one where Riker was in the play.
Yeah. Oh.
And then they kept messing with his mind.
Right. Just kept going back and forth. Was it real? Was it fantasy? Was it part of the play?
And I also like when Data was dreaming.
I don't necessarily know if I like that one too much.
It's cellular peptide cake.
Yeah. That was a pretty good cake, though. I mean, it looked good. I mean, it looked tasty.
And Crusher is drinking his brain or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would somebody please get that phone?
Oh, that was Riker's brain she was drinking.
Right.
Yes. And Data, his chest opens up, and there's the phone.
And he stabbed Deanna Troi, so you must have liked that.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. But, no, what I liked about, you know, the Next Generation, and maybe even later on, is that when the bridge is calling down the engineering, you actually feel like it's a real ship. They're really calling down to the real engineering who's really answering at the time. You know what I mean? Right. So you can get into it. But anyway, I think better end this because we're starting to run a little long. You want to come back sometime when Brian's feeling better?
Oh, yeah. And I certainly hope that Brian feels a lot better soon. I mean, he was obviously trying. He was being a good trooper.
Yeah.
But I think that he knew that he was going to be a distraction, and he understood that. I know he really wanted to be on the show, so
right.
Bless his heart, and I certainly hope he feels better soon.
Absolutely. It's the same thing when we had Byer Brown on last week. Now, did you hear that episode with Byer?
I listened to some of it, yeah.
What do you think of Byer?
He's got a great voice, and he's got he's a very intelligent person.
Oh, I love Byer, man. We've been accused of having some bromance going, you know. But I'm perfectly okay with that because he is just an incredibly warm-hearted, gifted man who's just, he takes care of us, we take care of him, and we just go back and forth, and... So, yeah, anytime I can get him on, it'd be great. So maybe we'll get you on with him and Brian, and we'll just have a big old conference here.
Yeah, wow. But that'd be fine. We have to figure it out.
Right. So, all right. Well, is there anything else you want to add to this? Any other testimony you want to give us?
Nothing much I can think of, just that I always thought that when we talked about how we met, that it was almost like one of those New York City insults where I was like, yeah, I knew your sister before I knew you.
Mm-hmm. You did, and you thought she was cute.
Yeah, sister's cute. Very married.
Very married, so, yes. You would ask once in a while, is she still married? Yes, unfortunately she is. You know,
no, don't say unfortunately.
For you, unfortunately.
Oh,
for her.
Okay, yes.
You know, yes, she's still married to the fireman. She can't get past the hose. But, you know, it was good to talk to you again, man.
All right. Well, thanks, and I will look forward to hearing from you again.
All right. Everybody, that was Bob Hansen. I want to thank everybody for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Bob, thank you for coming on and being a great guest. Brian, I keep telling you, it's called dextromethorphan. Take it, take plenty, and be back next week. Everybody, thank you for downloading, and good night. Bob, say kapla.
Kapla.